You're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. The shortage of mental health services for children in Michigan is reaching a crisis point. That's what we've been hearing all week from providers, parents, and advocates. But there's a movement to bring about real change for families. Here's what Dr. Sheila Marcus, clinical professor of child and adolescent psychiatry at the University of Michigan, told us yesterday on Stateside.
I think that this is a crisis that is beginning to reach the highest levels, both within the state, within the university, within academic centers, and within primary care centers. And people are beginning to put their heads together to say, this isn't right, this isn't fair, it's not good for these parents, it's not good for these children.
A new coalition of organizations and advocates in Southeast Michigan is hoping to be one of those places where new solutions emerge to address this crisis. It's called Michigan Advocates for Youth Behavioral Health. Larry Burns is the president and CEO of the Children's Hospital of Michigan Foundation. He's helping to lead this new effort and wrote about it in a recent letter to the editor in Cranes, Detroit. Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, Lester. Delighted to be here.
So you wrote, quote, "Our current healthcare system is failing to meet the needs of children with mental health disorders." In what ways?
Well, in many ways. Just to make sure that your listeners are aware that mental health disorders are the most common disease related to childhood, more than cancer, diabetes, AIDS combined. So people need to know that 1 in 5 children suffer from a diagnosable mental health, behavior health issue. But only 20% of these kids are being treated. And so I like to say that it's not just a problem. It is really a crisis.
Why haven't we recognized this yet?
Well, part of it is the stigma that mental health and behavioral health has still in our society. You know, people are very willing to talk about their heart disease or some cancer. But when it's mental health, adults and children are just much more reluctant to talk about that. And we're making progress, particularly in millennials and younger. And so campuses across the country are finding that students are more likely to talk about their issues than my generation back in the 70s or 80s in college. So I think the stigma has a lot to do with it. And then the other issue is that we just don't train people enough to deal with behavioral health problems. And I'm not referring to physicians as much as I'm referring to teachers and any group of professionals that deal with children in a group setting. And so they just don't know what to do. And so that's part of the problem.
In fact, you talked about across the U.S., not just in Michigan, there's this shortage of behavioral health providers for children. Why would that be the case?
Well, the case is multidimensional in the sense that because of the reimbursement process in the history on behavioral health, there hasn't been an influx of medical students seeking to be psychiatrists. And in medical school, historically, the amount of time medical students spend on behavioral and mental health is just not enough to prepare a primary care physician or a pediatrician in mental health. But because the reimbursement has been poor historically or there's no reimbursement, then a lot of physicians with a lot of debt and a lot of other financial issues haven't chosen these specialties. That's part of it.
So what's the result of a shortage of mental health providers?
Well, the result is – I'll give you an example. At Children's Hospital of Michigan in Detroit, their emergency room on any given day might have 15 to 20 youngsters, so ages 10 to 15 to 18, in their emergency room because of a behavioral health issue. Many of these children, young adults, are in a crisis mode. And because there isn't enough inpatient longer-term beds in the state to send these kids to, many times, if not most, they stay in the ER for days, sometimes weeks. And if you add up the fact that there's a lack of trained physicians, psychologists, social workers, and then you add the fact that there is a lack of inpatient, longer-term beds in the state, then there's nowhere for these children to – I don't say nowhere, but there's not enough places for these children to go to for the type of longer-term care they need. They don't belong in an ER for a week. They belong somewhere where they can get some better care.
There's this old saying that, you know, if you don't put money into one social program, society will pay some other way. It sounds like we're wasting a lot of emergency room space and time and staff when they don't really have the means to deal with the issue at hand.
Yes. There's a number that I just saw that if a child is undiagnosed and continues to, let's say, go to an ER when there's a behavioral issue, the price tag on that during their childhood is $300,000, meaning that that is the cost that the hospital and sometimes the insurance company may have to put out there because they're undiagnosed. And so they're not really getting the proper long-term care to help them in a long-term way.
So what will you actively do to deal with the issues that you've just outlined for us?
Thank you, Lester. I might start with just mentioning some of the members of the coalition. So it's Oakland Family Services, an organization called Detroit Live, the Children's Center in Detroit, the International Bullying Prevention Association, which is headquartered in Michigan, but it's an international organization, Wayne State University, Starfish Services, and several others. Most of the members that are in the coalition are frontline service providers. These are people who deal with children and families every day versus me, more as an administrator. We listen to each other. One of the things we've done in the time we've been in existence is breaking down our own silos. These organizations I mentioned, many of them are not aware of one another. They don't work with one another, not because they don't want to, because they don't know maybe how to. So this coalition is going to try to create opportunities to work together. And the first major effort we have will be on May 14th at the Inn at St. John's in Plymouth, Michigan. We are having a child and adolescent behavioral summit where we're covering things from university-aged kids to preschool, and we're going to have topics such as trauma, things as suicide, depression, anxiety, and sort of a whole gamut of things.
Your list of goals included, as we were talking earlier, ending stigma, changing attitudes toward mental health illness. That's a tall order. How do you do that?
Well, I think we do it by starting and by being committed to this marathon. Our foundation is a foundation in perpetuity, meaning that we're going to be around for hopefully forever. These focus areas that we have, and behavioral health being one of them, is allowing us to every day to reach out to organizations. We now have 40 partners in the state where we are working together either by providing money, providing advocacy, bringing people together. And so every day we're doing that. And so we're in it for the long run. These are not short-term fixes. If they were, they would have been done already. And so we're working with the University of Michigan. We're working with Mott Children's Hospital. We're working with the Boys and Girls Club. Just this month, one of our new partners is called Life Labs for Kids. It's in Ferndale, Michigan. It is a new center for kids with autism. So we're very committed to the children and their families that are dealing with kids with autism. And we put that into our mental health, behavioral health category as well. And so we can't do this alone, obviously. We are increasing our resources financially. We're reaching out to organizations and people in the state with our ability to manage money, but then to disseminate that money to our partners.
Larry Burns is president and CEO of the Children's Hospital of Michigan Foundation. He's part of a new coalition called Michigan Advocates for Youth Behavioral Health. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you very much, Lester. Appreciate it.